here. Sergeant Betsy Smith is here, spokesperson for the National Police Association, and just a terrific voice, along with Lieutenant Dave Smith. Dave is one of surely the most recognized police trainers in the country, and between the two of them, watch out. So here we go here. So let's tell people first, initially, what a mass shooting event is. I think a lot of people don't understand that it's clarified or classified, as I understand it, and you will correct me on this or agree, that it's when at least four people, is that the number, four people are injured or killed? They call that a mass shooting. Is that right?
Okay. Four people or more.
Okay. So now let me put some context on this, and then this is pretty startling here now. We're in a trajectory that is not very promising at the moment here. So what I understand, there are 610 mass shootings so far this year, which equal to 610 supposedly in 2020, which was a tie for that year. But what's even more unbelievable is that the year in the middle of that was the record, which was 2021, which had 690. Those are some unbelievable numbers. And we're talking as of Friday, November 25th. Listen to these numbers here. Almost 40,000. When I say almost, how about 39,935? Now, probably has changed since then, but people have died from gun-related events in the U.S. this year, including over 18,000 who died of homicide, unintentional shooting, plus another 21 who died by suicide. And kids as well, 290 were children between 0 and 11, and over 1,200 were teenagers between 12 and 17. My friends, these are some startling numbers, if these are accurate numbers. What do you make of this?
Well, here's the thing. And again, to lend more perspective, these mass public killings that we're talking about account for about 1% of all homicides. And a lot of people, when they hear these numbers, they think, well, okay, it seems like there's a lot, but a lot of these I haven't heard of, because a lot of them are gang related. You know, there's a mass public killing in Chicago almost every week or every other week.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
And, you know, so we don't hear about a lot of these. We hear about the ones that either just so shock the conscience of the nation, Malcolm, right, or we hear about the ones that can be politicized in some way by the leftist media.
They always have
like the Colorado Springs one. Let's touch on that with the LGBT club, I guess it was. The shooter himself was part of that community. Is that correct?
But, you know, this is, again, this is so politicized. It's hard. He claims to be non-binary, which makes him part of that community. At the same time, that community's political activists are denying that he has anything to do with them. And this is part of the problem. This has become such a politicized thing. If it's a gangster shooting in Chicago where nine people get shot, three killed, no one talks about it. We don't hear. That's a horror event as well. A terrifying event. Now you've got this guy goes into a nightclub and starts murdering people, and it's suddenly politicized to the point that everybody wants him to be a particular party, a particular bench.
Yeah.
And the problem is that getting the facts through the fiction, through the narrative, is so hard and difficult. And that's part of the whole problem with solving the mental illness issues as well.
Yeah, boy, that's a really huge point, what you say there, Dave. They're like vultures, the politicization of it's vultures. I mean, they can't get onto the scene quick enough to find out, is he Democrat or Republican? Is he black? Is he white? Who did he shoot, right? Are they gay? Are they straight? Is it a hate crime? And right away, they classified that as a hate crime, but I guess it depends. Well, they're all sort of driven by hate, aren't they? I guess if you want to call it that. Well,
yeah, murder is a hateful act.
I think so.
But here's the thing. Everybody keeps talking about, well, he's just saying he's non-binary. That's what his attorneys are saying, so that he doesn't get charged with a hate crime. Getting charged with a hate crime is irrelevant. He's going to get charged with multiple counts of murder. A hate crime is actually a lesser crime. So, it all becomes, just like Dave said, part of trying to fit this narrative that people want. Let's not forget, and I don't want to make this political, but Nancy Pelosi trotted out within hours to talk about how right-wing extremists are responsible for, you know, the LGBTQ nightclub murders, and then Focus on the Family, which is a Christian organization that's nearby. They've now gotten vandalized and they're getting blamed, and they have nothing to do with this. But you know, we're not going to talk about the politics of the shooter, the Walmart shooter. You know, nobody asked if his grandpa was a Republican in California. Nobody asked what his politics.
Why is that?
Well, let's just talk about it. A, because he's mentally ill. B, because he's African-American. And he works for Walmart, who has tried in the past to get somewhat political. They've backed away from that. And that's a whole nother discussion. Hmm. But it's just very frustrating because the issues that we have here are not the guns. The issues we have are, why is there so much hate? Why is there so much sadness? And because, you know, you talked about the suicide rate. Why is there so much sadness and angst in our society? Sure. And why do we so devalue life in this society?
That's what I don't understand. Pose that thought right there, Betsy. That's what I really have a hard time seriously putting my arms around what you just said. And I can't compute it. Really, I've tried many times, and I just don't understand that why any human being would, just for the sport of it, like the Walmart dude who calls people in that he didn't like because there was a bullying factor there of some sort. He was the supervisor, right? He was the guy. And yes, he calls his workers in and shoots them. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable.
He claims to be the victim of bullying by management. And again, this is one of those, if you see something, say something situations. We don't know, and we may never find out, what was reported to human resources at Walmart. Was his bullying of some of his employees reported? Did he report bullying by other people? So we have somebody who's been bullied. He had a lousy upbringing, lousy family life. He couldn't, his own manifesto, he couldn't find a wife. So he's a very lonely guy. But in, you know, lonely people do things, whether they become, you know, involved in alcohol or drugs or maybe commit suicide. But now we have this atmosphere where people decide they're going to take out a bunch of other people before they kill themselves. And it's, you know, so, I mean, Malcolm, and again, this is a huge issue. We're going to have to go back to no religion, good family situation. There's a lot of no dad in the home. Dave and I have talked about something that we didn't used to believe in, which is how violent video games are a causation. Right. We're starting to see that violent video games are a problem.
Did you at one time think they weren't? Is that what you just said?
Well, you know what? We were buying into a lot of the, quote, studies that were saying, well, there's no relevant, yet you find it such a consistent pattern in these mass shooters that they are gamers at some level, and gaming, you know, permeates our children. And that's the thing, you're saying, Malcolm, where's the value of life? There's none. We do truly, the United States has become this moral abyss where their children are not taught morality. They're not taught the sanctity of life at all. The abortion issue is just one small thing. You know, now we're getting more and more into euthanasia, and we're talking about it, you know, and eventually you see this constant demonization of groups by ethnicity, by political party. And this is all terrifying if you think about it, the fact that if they don't value life, if people have been raised to not value life, if you end up in this situation where people, in fact, believe that violence is a ready solution or even a just solution to their problems, you know, you're going to see more and more of it. And that conversely, the counteraction would be to prosecute, to punish that behavior. We don't. Not in our society anymore. Right, we actually excuse. We quote, understand what their problem is. And this has become a real serious national problem. Our children are not being raised to believe in the value of life. Our children are not being raised to understand authority.
There's a cause and effect, Dave, of all this stuff. I mean, there clearly is. And you pointed out so well the psychology behind this, which we'll be talking a little bit more in just a bit with some experts on that. Now, the Walmart one, he killed himself, but the Colorado Springs one did not. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. The Colorado Springs shooter was taken into, actually, and I just have to say this, he was actually stopped by two very brave patrons who just risked their own lives, and one was a military veteran, to stop him.
Right. Were they armed, Betsy?
No, they were not armed. The military veteran tackled him, and then a guy who was one of the drag queen performers took off his stiletto heel and beat him in the face with it. You can go online and look at his mugshot and see that he's got some damages. So brave Americans said enough.
Now, I think video games are a factor in this stuff. I think the society of movies and what we're doing, which we've glorified going in and murdering. Now, I, for one, now this is me personally, Dave, Betsy, I don't know how you both feel, but let me just tell you, I mean, I'm very sensitive about this conversation because my wife and I differ on it. I'll just put that out there. I do not find any enjoyment. I never have. I sincerely mean that. To see people raped, murdered, or these horrific events in an entertainment fashion. I find no entertainment value in that whatsoever. I find it gruesome and ridiculous and a bad use of my brain cells. What do you say to that?
So, Malcolm, we need to hang out with you and your wife because I won't watch any of what you just said. And again, I was a cop for 29 years.
Yeah.
I will not watch violence, rape, murder, true crime, any of that garbage. You know, Dave likes a little violence, a lot of science fiction, things like that. Give me the Hallmark Channel and a funny comedy.
So you and I, Betsy, will sit in one room and have a cocktail and watch that. And Dee can be in the other room with Dave then. That'd be fun.
Malcolm, these are our modern fairy tales. These are our modern.
I guess. I say that. Now, you mentioned video games a moment ago, Dave, not to be a smart guy again, but the kids. I always knew it was bad for them. This isn't a new revelation that came to my mind. I always felt that. I'll tell you why. When I went into my son was like 12, something like that, 11, 12 years old. He's in there with a video game that he was bought for Christmas from my wife, of course, and shooting people and blowing them up, and the blood and guts are all over the place. And I look at the screen and I'm thinking, I said, what? This is not good, man. What good can come out of this?
You're right. And that's one of the things. Again, now, originally, when these video games started being generated, I had that same feeling you did, that intuited that, boy, this is teaching people violence. Yeah. But then studies started coming. And here again, the pseudoscience of today, it's all politicized science. And they're like, oh, no, it has no effect. Colonel Dave Grossman, you know, the guy that wrote On Killing, you know, he kept saying this is the same mental conditioning the military uses, and everybody ignored. In fact, they didn't ignore him. They tried to destroy him. And that's the thing. Now, you're right. I agree with you that these games are conditioning or deconditioning.
They decondition their minds is what they're doing. I'm absolutely certain of it. And I don't give a rat's ass what study they put in front of me, whether it's pro or con. I know what I know. You understand? I mean, I understand human behavior and I can see it in front of us. And if we continue to make that the normal, and the young minds they're eating this stuff for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And first of all, they're on their technology all the time. It is a problem. Even the YouTube stuff he watches and some of that crap is so gross and ridiculous, and it's out into the mainstream. And then these people want to know what's going on with our culture. Well, here's what the hell's going on with our culture. What do you got to look very far from that? And this is what we've done here. So listen, two of the big things we got to get to here before I get on my soap, really get on my soapbox here a moment here. Okay. So I got a comment on this. When you said a little earlier, Betsy, you said, well, not to make it political. Well, at this point, I do want to make it political. That is the point of this, because President Biden, the headline in the AP was this: emboldened Biden, Dems push ban on so-called assault weapons. Again, never let a crisis go to waste is their ultimate motto in the Marxist left party there. So the president wants to sign into law a ban on high-powered guns that has the capacity to kill many people very quickly. I'm going to try to get rid of assault weapons. You know, they've already done some pretty unbelievable things there we never thought they could do. Does this have a shot at all in happening, or is this three layers removed from the cuckoo's nest? What do you think?
First of all, there's a recent Gallup poll that came out that said that American support of more gun laws is down 6%. It's going down. Americans don't want more gun laws. And Joe Biden's grasp of firearms nomenclature and anything to do with what a gun is bare minimum nonsense. He doesn't really understand. He talks about assault weapons, then he talks about semi-autos. Semi-automatic weapons are about half the firearms in this country. And firearms are not going away. So do I think that Joe Biden can pass more gun laws? I don't think that's going to happen. But this is part of the problem with that side of the aisle, and really with a lot of politicians on both sides. They don't know anything about firearms. They don't know anything about shooting sports. What they need to do is stop worrying about the guns. And we're just going to have to put people in prison, punish them. And you know what, Malcolm? Evil sometimes just has to be warehoused until they die or they're old.
So what can we do, my friends, to put an action plan in together as folks here to make this, to become not a nation in pain?
Well, first off, you know, this whole thing about mental illness, these laws that we're looking at, well, if somebody's believed, well, look, let's start first, number one, if somebody actually does an action like this fellow in the Colorado Springs, he should have been in jail. He should have been under, this guy threatens to blow up his mom, kidnaps her, does all these things. She says, I don't want to press charges. I don't care. The police had to go take him out at gunpoint after a standoff. That's a crime. That should have been, if nothing else, can you get a more high profile red flag than that? So when these people actually do something, that, and time and again, we found that these guys have been brought to law enforcement's attention. There are current laws. Let's enforce those. Let's give some teeth to the psychology component of the laws where we know some guy's obviously deviant, obviously got a deep mental issue. And we take action, and then let's follow up. Let's get them in the database. Let's make sure these people aren't able to acquire firearms in the future. And let's have an adult conversation about dealing with these type of things and actually follow up for a change. And that's something we find that the government's been very bad at. They want a law, like you said, to enforce against the decent people, but not against the people who actually commit crimes.
That's it. All right. Final word, Sergeant Betsy.
The other thing that we need to do is people need to get back to supporting American law enforcement. Amen. Defund the police failed. So we have got to now go back, lift up American law enforcement, make the profession a desirable job for young people, because we have record retirements, record numbers of people leaving the profession, and we can't get new people to come to it. So if we're going to want to enforce the laws, we're going to need more police officers. And then every single voter in this country needs to take a look at the county prosecutor in their area, make sure they're a prosecutor that follows the law and prosecutes the bad guy. And if they're not, get them out and vote in somebody new.
Amen. Yeah, that is an outstanding point that you bring up there. Just think about that. I mean, I couldn't have asked to end that segment better than that, that really our support of law enforcement should be our top order, friends. A tremendous thank you always to these two, one of my favorites here, to be sure. Sergeant Betsy Smith, Lieutenant Dave Smith, terrific. Dr. Peter Bregan and Patricia Antone will join me in just moments here. Interesting op-ed on this. Boy, it was really, I thought this was a grand slam, this one as well. A disturbing symptom of social disintegration. Mass murder incidents are an ominous sign. Wow. Gives you something to think about, huh? All right. Stay right there, friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.